I hope so.
I think this thing is on.
I hope you're just really looking forward to these studies. And if you're worried about that old pioneer guy, don't worry. You might remember back probably in 2012 before Mike got here. It's probably in February. I made the statement, I said, he must increase, but I must decrease. And someone wanted to know, does Alan have a chronic or is he going to die? Well, the answer is yes, I'm going to die, but I don't know that I have a chronic illness just yet. But isn't it exciting to have these young people with all these skills that God has gifted them with and they're willing to use them? And so I think my job tonight is to extend the invitation, as we call it, rather than do the sermon, because we've already had a wonderful encouragement. But I've been asked to speak about visitors and think about that opportunity. I want to just suggest to you, we're having company. What do you do when you have company? Well, some of us are terrified if we have company. And so as we think about several of those opportunities, we often say, if you're visiting today, we want you to know that you're our honored guest. You ever heard that before? How does that look, really, as we think about that? We do have a genuine interest in our visitors. But if you were a visitor, how would people honor you? Well, it might be different for different people. Some people don't want anybody to say anything to them or look at them or touch them or anything. And other people want you to just kind of be real huggy-feely kind of folks. So it depends on you as to how you would feel honored. And so we need to think about that. I want you to think about various places where you visited in the past. What was said? What was done that really made you feel welcomed or treated with respect and appreciation? Or in contrast, what was said or done or not that made you feel unwelcome and unwanted? So when we visit, we like to be greeted and treated warmly. How does it feel like when you're treated as an outsider? You know, I have a lot of those experiences. Last Sunday morning in the Swiss Alps of eastern Ohio, they call it Little Switzerland there, one of the older ladies sitting up front craned about and looked and saw a man sitting on the back row in this very good auditorium as far as acoustics is concerned. She said, "Who's that stranger back there?" I'm sure that stranger could hear her. I said, "Oh, he's my new friend, Tim. I just met him." Let's not do that, okay? So what do you think would be helpful to our many visitors? What's your definition of a friendly family? Well, have you ever had somebody when you knock on their door, they say, "Come in, come in"? Well, Louisa May Alcott said that those are two of the most beautiful words in the English language. Come in, come in. Some things that you might think about asking, do you live in this area? Do you have family in the area? What can we do to make your visit more comfortable? Would you like to join us for lunch? Do you need a place to stay? Now, having suggested some of those things, I'm reminded that I am what you might call a eager beaver when it comes to visitors. Is that an understatement? In fact, Cindy reminded me of about 20 years ago in Hartselle, Alabama. I don't think I remember seeing it, or I chose not to. But there was this young man who was walking from one pew to the other on the top of the pews, and he was saying, "A visitor!" He was mocking me, acting like you do anything to get to a visitor. You know, you just tackle them or whatever. And that's, you have to laugh, you have to learn to laugh at yourself. And I'm sure I seem that way. You know, you guys just kind of part the Red Sea to let me through to get back to meet a visitor. And part of that is just who I am. And part of it is an evangelist. Man, if somebody's looking for Jesus, I want him to at least know, thank you. And I want to speak to them. And part of that's just personality. Part of it's way over the top. And so if I jump your case and say, "Hey, you know, you didn't talk to the visitor." Well, I didn't even know he was a visitor. I didn't even see him. And so a lot of things we can just kind of get overboard on. So if you see me pouncing, I mean encouraging, just just tell me to dial it back a little bit. It'll be okay. But as we think about those kind of things, we do want to think about what James tells us in regard to how we respond to visitors. So if you would look in James chapter 2, it's not going to come up on the screen. My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but you say to the poor man, "You stand there or sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? But you've insulted the poor. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. So how do we treat people? Do we treat them based upon what kind of clothes they're wearing? Whether they look like they might be successful or not? What about the person who comes in and maybe doesn't smell quite so good? Or is dressed in ways that we think, ugh, that's a little bit inappropriate here. How do we respond? Do we show partiality? So as we think about those kind of things, we think about loving strangers. That's what the word hospitality is. It's philonexia or philoxenos. It's love of strangers. Have you ever gone into a strange setting? I can still remember that cold, I think it was January, in Budapest, Hungary, and I walked into an auditorium of about 5,000 people. It was the Hit Gula Gazette. It was the Church of Faith. And they were rocking and they were rolling, and I was scared. But they tried to be gracious. And so you think about when someone walks through those doors, they're walking into a very uncomfortable setting. They don't know hardly anybody. They don't know what you're going to do to them. They don't know why. And so there's going to be a lot of anxiousness on their part, even as we think about those kind of things. Think about also, as I mentioned, that kind of a setting. Think about, if you will, how do we respond to folks? Do we just judge them based upon what they're wearing? How do we deal with them? Are we kind to the poor? Think about also what 1 Corinthians 14 tells us in regard to that context of supernatural spiritual gifts. But if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everybody's prophesying, he'll be convinced by all that he's a sinner and will be judged by all. And the secrets of his heart will be laid bare. So he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, "God is really among you." So when these gifts were used appropriately, the result would be that the unbeliever would fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you. We may not want to recognize it or admit it, but when visitors come in, boy, we are on trial. And they are watching. And it may seem it's difficult to know how or when to explain it, but when visitors give feedback like saying, well, they were just playing games. They weren't paying attention. They were just doing video games on their phone. I don't really like to share that, but I also want us to know they're watching us. They're looking to see, are we really worshiping God or what are we doing? And so we're really going to be having an impact, either good or bad. Either they're going to say God is with these people, or these aren't God's people. Sometimes not kind, not friendly, not respectful, not like Jesus. And one of the things that with Ryan and Mike in helping me work on this presentation, I think it was Ryan who used the phrase the bystander effect. And when we think about that, it's kind of the someone, anybody kind of thing. That we presume that someone's going to greet our visitors. We're pretty confident that Dave and Scott are going to do that. We may think that, well, anybody can greet visitors. And we presume that somebody will, but sometimes often nobody or very few actually do. And so it's really painful for someone like Ryan to go, and I'll not mention the congregation, and one of the guys still remembers from years ago saying, I was here at Lafayette and no one spoke to me. Now we all assumed that someone else would speak to him, and none of us did. And so this guy remembers this from years ago, and I don't say that because I'm wanting to hurt anybody, just saying we sure don't want that to happen next week or the next week or the next week. We don't want to have that experience where people say, you know, I was here for months, and really, I think we're kind of friendly people, but just hardly anybody spoke to us. We don't like to hear those things. They're really painful, but we sure don't want to think that, well, somebody else is going to take care of that. So we kind of have to get our head up and look out and understand that parents with little kids, man, that's a job just to keep them corralled. So some of the rest of us who don't have that responsibility, maybe we can be more responsive to our visitors. So let's think about those kind of things. Let's get the house ready. And I'm going to, for sake of time, not take time to read through Genesis chapter 18. But I often think about Abraham, who I think is being referenced to in Hebrews 13. We're not to forget to entertain strangers. Some have entertained angels. They didn't know it. In Genesis 18, you've got Abraham. He's just camped out at the front of his tent, and he sees these three guys. And he compels them, hey, let me fix you a meal. And so, you know, he's not like me and says, well, look, you can get a Happy Meal at McDonald's for half price and we'll split it or something like that. He wants to do something really nice and gracious and best and encourages them to take time to sit down and have a meal. Hey, Sarah, you need to get some bread ready. And just really a lot of work in that Middle Eastern culture. It's very important that they provide. I was reading more about that in regard to, man, if you don't have food and you don't have water, you don't live. You don't get very far. And so that area was a place where Abraham looked at these three men and he ran from the tent door to meet them. Maybe that's where the young man got the illustration. So our preparation for visitors then begins with our familiarity with the family. See, I don't know if this is the guy that's coming or not, one of our visitors next week. But one of the challenges is, and I don't know who the young man is, but let's think about the problem is that for us to know the visitors, we got to first know who the family is. And I remember, you know, my shy wife, I can say this now that she's in Nashville, I won't feel the pain for a little bit anyway, but my shy wife, you know, when she was trying to get to know the congregation here, she would speak to people and she would think, well, is this a visitor? And she didn't know. So, well, I've been here for 10 years. So she kind of moves back, you know. So one of the challenges for us to speak to visitors is we first got to know who the visitors are. And to know who the visitors are, we first have to know who the family is. And it's sometimes challenging to know who the family is. But if it doesn't matter to you, just speak to everybody. Then you'll get it covered. And so that will be helpful. One of the things that Ryan and Mike and I are really concerned to have accomplished is your help. And when visitors come, we'd like to have a continuing effort to communicate with them. We don't want them to just be one and done. We want them to come and learn and start asking questions and then develop dialogue for future studies. Do you understand what I'm saying? We need additional contact information. So if I seem like a hound dog, or I just seem like some SS guy who says, do you have the visitor's card? Those cards are not what's important. What's important is these represent souls. These are people who are or are not looking for Jesus, and we want them to know that we're looking for them. So if you can help with your visitors that come, and you can help us to say, thank you for coming. What were your observations? How can we better help? How can we better serve? Those are going to be so helpful. And we can't get to everybody. So if you'll help with that, that'll be tremendously beneficial for future opportunities to study together as well. So as we think about how we respond to folks, Jesus says, if you did it to them, you did it to me. As we think about that, if we knew for sure Jesus was going to be here next Sunday night at 6 o'clock, would we be here? Would we speak to him? Would we recognize him? What would he be wearing? What would he be looking like? How would he be dressed? And let's just say Jesus isn't going to be here next Sunday, although I don't really want to say that. Let's just suppose there's some other Christians from other places that come. Would we treat them as Phoebe was to be treated, worthy of saints? Have you ever wondered about people coming, and do we really, as these are fellow Christians, these are fellow holy ones following Jesus, do we give them what we would call the royal treatment? You see, that's one of the very points that Paul is making to the Romans, is you treat her special. She's a servant of Christ, and she's been a servant of a lot of people, and she's a servant of mine. So how do we respond to fellow Christians that come? Do we ever think to say, what do you need? Do you need a place to stay? How can we serve you? Those are just things that we do with good manners as God's people. And so let's be thinking about those opportunities as well. And so if Jesus did come, what would he look like? Great, great story about when Jesus came to Birmingham. It was Birmingham, England. Would you visit with him? Would you visit with Jesus if he came? And see, the word visit doesn't mean to just talk to. It means to look to their needs and meet those needs. That's like visiting the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. It doesn't mean just say, oh, hi, my name's Alan, what's yours? It means to give attention to see how can this person best be served. And so if Jesus came, would we make an effort to serve him as a visitor? Well, what if he did come and we didn't recognize him? In fact, did Jesus come to Abraham? Did Abraham know who these folks were? Who were these strangers? Who was this Lord that came to Abraham? We know two of them were angels. The other's called the Lord. But what would he think of our conduct? And so please give some consideration to those opportunities. Another thing that might be helpful, some of us don't even remember when we're asked, is when some people come in, they're going to have their iPad, they're going to have their phone, and they're going to say, hey, what's the access code? I need Wi-Fi. Well, I think, and please correct me, I know Judah had to make the correction a few weeks ago, I think the Wi-Fi, 405 North Creasy, is that right, Brett? 405 North Creasy. So if you can remember the address, then you got the code. And then other people, oh, I've got the COC missing on the Lafayette. Ah. Would you add COC there? Okay? So that they can go to our website. Because that's also going to announce. So you got that corrected, right? So I was sure I'd mess something up there. So make sure, let's make sure to get it right in our future opportunities. And let's just finally, let's recognize that people may not remember very long what Alan said, maybe not even what Ryan said, but people are going to remember how they felt when they came in and when they walked out. They're going to remember that. They're going to remember the feelings from their experience in visiting with us. Visitors are looking for a home. One lady who recently visited, she wrote on her card, looking for a home. And when she walked out that day, she said, I think I found it. Thank you, Ruth. There are so many folks here that are doing so many good things, but we want people to feel comfortable looking for a home and believing they found it among the people of God in this place. That is such good work, and that can never be minimized. So as we conclude then, let's keep that door open. Let's keep it open for anyone and everyone who's looking for God. Let's remember to share. Let's remember to get the house ready. Let's give our best to every guest. Let's keep the door of opportunity open, and let's remember to pray, as Ryan has requested, as he presents messages regarding God's existence and how God communicates and how God cares. Let's be praying for visitors and for all of us to be looking for others. If you look in John chapter 4, I'm just pretty sure the apostles were rather bumfuzzled by what they saw when they got back. They thought they were going for lunch or supper, depending on how you read the time. And here's this woman at the well who's a Samaritan. And Jesus is talking with this woman who's a Samaritan. And he says, I've got food to eat you don't even know about. And they're wondering who slipped him some food. And so then all of the Samaritan city starts coming out to Jesus after the woman goes back into town, say, come and see this guy. And here's what Jesus said. Don't say there are yet 4 months and then come the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they're white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal, that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. So let's just be looking. And please don't be afraid to waste seed. One of those little statements on my dad back of dad's door was, God never criticized the sower for wasting seed. Don't think that, oh, well, I'll take one copy of the announcement. Because I think Dave told us the price is 9 cents a copy on the copier here. And he wasn't saying it to don't make copies. Just spread it. There are cards on the back table. I have them here. There's a welcome packet. It's a vanilla. I've got it up there. I'll show you. Thought I was finished. See this stuff? This is cheap. It does no good sitting in a box. There's a We Are Simply Christians in this envelope. There's a first lesson of the correspondence book, Jesus the Way. There's a card that you can put your name on, and there's a visitor's card. And these are for every one of our visitors there on the back table. Just ask Dave or Scott if you need more information. And there are hundreds of these cards that you can just hand to whoever you buy gas from, wherever you go to the market, wherever you pay your bills. There are three different options and three different formats. Please load up and then unload. They're not doing any good sitting in the box over there in the back building. They're only going to do good if we spread them out. Please share those if you will. If you're not in Christ, I hope you can tell we're interested in you. And if we've said some things that you're curious about or just think, wait a second, what's going on here tonight? We're looking for other people. We're looking for Jesus. And we encourage you to look for Him as well. And we encourage you to help us as we seek to look for Him. If you're not in Christ, we'd encourage you to respond to His teaching and obey Him as we stand and as we sing.